Julie filed for the divorce. The house was so full of memories, they seemed too much to bear. And she never knew when Bobby would stop by unexpectedly, like this one Saturday afternoon in July.
I'm in the kitchen doing dishes, looking out the front window when I see Bobby's car pull up in the drive. Kathy's asleep and Kenny's playing at a neighbor's, so I walk out to meet him, thinking maybe he'll just turn around and leave. But even as I think that, I feel a little glad to see him. I watch him get out of the car and think about other times when I would have met him with a kiss. I see the way the sun glints off his thick, wavy auburn hair and how the wind dances through it, and remember how much I've always loved the look and feel of his hair, and I want to reach up and run my fingers through it, but I don't. I remind myself of the last years and the hurt, and I wonder if I ever really loved this man, and if he ever really loved me. And if so, where did our love go? As he starts to walk toward me, he stumbles, and now I see that he's drunk. But that's nothing new. He's always drunk. In his mind, there is always a reason to drink. Either it's party time or a time to drown your misery. Now he says he's always drunk because I ruined his life by divorcing him. I tell him where the kids are, and he says, "I didn't come to see the kids. I came to see you. Go back inside. I'll come in a minute." "I got to get something. I got something for you." I know better than to argue with him, especially when he's drunk, so I walk back into the kitchen and sit down on one side of the small Formica kitchen table. A few minutes later, he stumbles through the door and into the kitchen. Hanging at his side, clasped tightly in his right hand, is a gun. "I've decided I'm going to kill you," he says, and he sits down across from me and points the gun directly at me. I look at the gun. For a second, I can't think at all. I can just stare down the barrel of the gun and feel my heart pound. I notice the gun looks like it came out of another time, like the guns you see in old westerns. The moment seems unreal, like it too is out of some movie. I don't even feel surprised. Deep down inside, I've expected this very thing. This seems like the natural next step. I look from the gun to his face. His eyes are like something inhuman. Not angry, but full of hate, like the devil has taken over his body. And with a glint of sadistic pleasure like Charlie Manson's eyes. Those eyes are laughing at me, laughing at my fear like they're saying, "What you gonna do now, bitch?" That evil smile playing on his lips. He is enjoying himself. There is no doubt in my mind that, regardless of his real intentions, if I say one, even one wrong word, I will be dead, and my children will be faced with a trauma worse than any other I can imagine. My mind is racing, and I don't know how, but I start thinking very logically. I won't let myself look at the gun again because I'm afraid if I do, I will somehow set things in motion. The gun will just go off, and then... So I just keep watching his face, not daring to look away. I know I can't beg for mercy or even say anything about myself, because I know he doesn't care. He wants to see me in pain. I say, in a soft, quiet voice, like a mother would say to a child, "Bobby, if you kill me, you'll spend the rest of your life in jail, or worse." He says, "Do you really think I care about my own life? As soon as I kill you, I'm going to kill myself." Then who will raise our children? He says, the same one that raised me, my mother. They'd be better off. Yes, I say, but you wouldn't be here to see them. You'd miss all the fun of seeing your kids grow up. I don't care, he says. What about them? What will it do to them? They'll get over it. Do you think so? What about your mother? Will she get over it? He stands up and sort of leans over me and yells, what are you trying to do? Leave my mother out of this? I told you not to talk about my mother. He begins ranting about the time I called him a son of a bitch, how it was a slur on his mother. He's waving the gun around, wild. I think that a gunshot is going to be the next and last sound I will hear, and have a fleeting thought that this is the same man that told me how he loved me. Then all of a sudden he sits back down and says, maybe I'll just shoot myself instead. Then I could die right here on your kitchen floor and blood and guts would gush all over everywhere and you would have to clean it up. What do you think about that, huh? I might as well. You've killed me anyway. I'm looking at him, but I can't think of what to say. He says, you think I don't have the guts, don't you? Don't you? Bobby, I just think you're smarter than that. You're not going to do it. You're not. I say this like a prayer. Oh, no, he says, and puts the gun to his own head, pointing and pressing it to his right temple. Right at that moment, our three-year-old little girl starts to cry, and I say, something's wrong with Kathy. I gotta go see about her. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. You are not going to do it. Then I stand up, forcing myself to be slow and calm. I turn my back to him and start to walk out of the kitchen. When I get in the open doorway space that separates the kitchen from the living room, I hear the shot, a pop, with almost no ring. And I know I'm hit. I stand there frozen, waiting for the blood and pain to begin. How long does it take? I start mentally feeling over my body, and I can't find the spot where I've been hit. I think about the blood. Wouldn't it feel warm at first, then cold? Wouldn't I feel it running down some part of my body? Wouldn't I be falling to the floor? I feel nothing. I look down and I see no blood, and finally I realize it's not me. Then I know Bobby has shot himself, just like he threatened to do. I twist around and I see him sitting there, the gun pointing just above his head. He has shot a hole in the ceiling. He starts laughing. A loud, maniacal laugh. A sound that will always haunt me. My little girl comes running in to see what's happening. He stands and puts the gun behind his back. She's yelling, what was that? What was that? What was that? Like magic, he changes his persona to loving father, steps over to her, bends down and picks her up with his one free arm and says, it's okay, honey. Daddy just shot off a firecracker.